Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach in your hearing in the new mini-series, the church must unhitch itself using the famous word now uttered by Andy Stanley when he told the church that we ought to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. There's a whole lot of things that the church needs to unhitch itself from, but the Old Testament and the New Testament is not those things. Nowhere near. The church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's vision of the problem of the color line, part 3, the lost souls of black folk and white folk, part 57. Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17, verses 24-28. The Bible reads, God that made the world, every true preacher knows that there is no authority like the Word of God. Every sermon ought to begin and end with the Word of God. Otherwise, we have no authority. But the Word of God is authoritative. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Thank you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the authority of your holy word. There is nothing like it on earth. Your divinely inspired, inerrant holy word. We give you the glory, praise, and honor for it. And we thank you for it, and help your people not get deceived by those who are trying to tear your holy word down. Satan is behind it, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would please rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, for so many people are being misled Have mercy and grace upon those of us in the church. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our failures and our faults, our disobedience, rebelliousness and pride. Forgive us of our racism and our prejudice, hating one another, even in the church. Lord, just the other day, I know it sounds crazy, but just the other day in 2019, they just tore down a wall in a cemetery in Texas that divided white folks, dead white folks, and dead black folks in a graveyard. Now, Lord, I know that that is ridiculous, but that's how hateful we are. We carry hatred to the grave, racism and prejudice, hating black folks and white folks while dead. Have mercy and grace upon such wicked, evil, ungodly people as we are, and many of those folks. And many of the folks who put them in those graves were members of churches. And so, sadly, Lord, sadly, we still have that problem today. W.E.B. Du Bois was right. His vision was correct. It has been the color line as one of the biggest problems in this nation. But those of us who are truly born again in the church, by your grace, we need to unhitch ourselves from that philosophy, from that vision, from that mentality, confess our sins and repent, and turn from our hateful, evil ways. And I am convinced, Lord, now, as you know, more than ever before, that a person who truly hates somebody and does not want to fellowship with somebody just because they are black or white has never been born again. So open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save religious folk in the church, thinking that it's okay to hate other people just because of the color of their skin. Revive us again. Save those who are lost. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, what this series is all about, allow me to continue sharing with you once again the forethought of the lost souls of black folk and white folk. And I believe that this is part three, and we'll finish it. And then I will begin to expound more and more on this passage. I know that you will think that this is trite. However, it is still true. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I know you have heard it many times. It used to be quite popular back in the late 70s and 80s. We don't hear it that much today, but it is still true. Those of us who are truly born again in the church need to confess our sins and repent and turn from our wicked ways. And one of those sins, transgressions, is racism, rooted in pride, prejudice, having hatred, secret hatred in our hearts for others, to the point that we don't even want to fellowship with them. We don't want certain ones to come to our country club church. And we find any excuse to bar them when we welcome everybody else of our own race. I can hear hundreds of my Pharisaical ivory tower brethren saying, "Oh, what you're saying, preacher, this is all so simplistic." Allow me to remind them and you that God is big on simplicity. When you think about what I call God's wonderful system of grace, it is not complicated at all. In fact, it is very simple. Hard, maybe, but simple. Hard to give up his son for our sins, but simple. Hard for Christ to die the cruel death he died for our sins, but simple. Why would God make it difficult for such wretched, ignorant, sinful people as we are? God, yes, I know this will shock and amaze you, but God made it easy for us to get saved and to get right with him. It was hard for him and hard for Jesus, but he made it easy for us. Anybody who walks with God and knows God will find that he is big on simplicity. In fact, the Holy Spirit moved Paul to write in 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." As I look at the landscape of the church today, my beloved, I am convinced, even among evangelicals, many so-called servant leaders and churches have actually been beguiled by the serpent, the devil, because everybody is trying to be original and fresh and new to the point they are becoming ridiculous and taking the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and making it not only difficult but unrecognizable, confusing saints and sinners. And I know that there are some people who are going to get mad at me again for saying this, but I believe that Andy Stanley is one of these false prophets causing this satanic, unnecessary confusion in the body of Christ and turning many from the authority of the Holy Scriptures. But he's not the only one. There are other prominent leaders who are strangely silent. I believe that politics is involved, and I believe money is involved. You are witnessing the great falling away of the church wholesale. And many young Christians are confused and baffled at the foolishness that is going on in evangelical circles, Baptist circles, Bible church circles, so-called fundamental, independent fundamental circles, And I fear that we have thousands of dear souls going to hell from the evangelical church pews because of it. You've heard of K-I-S-S, K-I-S-S. You know what it means, but I changed it. Keep it simple, saints. Keep it simple. Even though we recognize that the color line is still a problem, allow me to cast a new vision, if you will, for the 21st century that is more hopeful and that offers a solution to the problem of the color line, because it is Christ-centered and gospel mission-focused. And by the way, if you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, as you should, you know that God and the Bible is it's all about solutions, solving problems, not just talking about problems. The Bible is full of solutions to your problems. God solves problems. Jesus Christ came to solve a problem. I know there are people, I know many of you women who don't want anybody to solve your problems. But if you are going to be connected to God, He's all about solving the problem and providing solutions, as all Christians ought to be. We ought not to be a part of the problem. Now, beloved, let me help you here. I believe that black and white Christians are leaders of not only America, but the world. I know that sounds kind of strange, and there are many other people who are leaders as well, our Asian brothers, Indian brothers, all kinds of folks, our Hispanic brethren. We thank God for all leaders that God has raised up. But generally speaking, if you look across the landscape of all of the different fields in life, first and foremost, you're going to find the Jews doing their thing. But because America is America, and white folks and black folks, according to Condoleezza Rice, are founding groups of people who put America on the map, I firmly believe that what we do together matters. And I say together, and I'm talking about Christian folk, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we're leaders whether you want to be or not. We are servants, but that makes us leaders. What we do, people will follow because of our connection to Jesus Christ and the church. Be that as it may, I firmly believe that what we do together matters, and that the way America goes, so goes the world. That's just how it is. I believe that if we as black folk and white folk, white Christians, black Christians, would find our souls again by getting our hearts right with God, and you know what that means, by confessing our sins, repenting of our sins, humbling ourselves before God, praying, seeking God's face, turning from our wicked ways, and getting back to our first love, who, by the way, is Jesus Christ, then God will hear our hearts. He will hear our prayers and heal our lives and our land. Judgment must begin at the house of God, and I believe that's happening right now in the black church and in the white church. I heard a white preacher tell Vodi, I can't even pronounce his last name or his first name, but most of you know him, a black evangelist. And the white preacher brought up the black church and the white church and so forth, and Vodi was a little bit perturbed by that. And I understand that, but it is still a reality. And I don't think all white churches are going to become mixed, and I don't believe all black churches are going to become mixed. And I think that's fine, as long as you have a heart and open hands and open doors to all people. And they are not made to feel comfortable, but they feel comfortable when they come in. And that comes from the Spirit of Christ and the love of Christ. You can't fake it. You can't pump it up. A hard slap on the back and a big broad smile is not going to get it. It's got to come from your heart, man. Your heart's got to be right. And one of the things the church, some church folk need to learn, is that people, God can see through you, and there are people who can see through you. And you got to be real. And so the black and white church needs to cease, generally speaking, talking about being reconciled when we have never been conciled. I know that's not a word, I made it up, in the first place. See, reconciled means we were together in the beginning. We've never been together. Thank God for those groups who have. In fact, as I mentioned the other day, the charismatic folks have done a better job at this, but yet still they have their problems too. It's a bugaboo, this racism thing. It's tragic. It's foolish. It's ridiculous. And the church needs to cease, generally speaking, talking about race like it is the only sin or the biggest sin in the church. And one of the reasons why we like to do that is because it's an easy sin to deal with. It makes us feel like we're doing something, that we're really tackling something. And it is a problem, there's no doubt. But it is a heart problem. And only God can change the heart. And white folks and black folks need to get alone in the closet with their own heart and with their God, God Almighty, and confess their sins and repent. There's some sins you need to repent of and confess and repent of in the closet and get it right with God and just talk out loud and say, God, you know, I hate black folk. I hate white folk, and I really don't see the need for any black folks joining our church, our little white church. And I don't see the need of any white folks, and especially these men bringing their white wives in here and causing a disturbance among the black women, their white girlfriends up in here. That's going to be a problem. We're going to lose members over this, good paying members. It is a problem, but it's a heart problem. And all we need to do is read the Bible, confess our sins, repent, make sure we're born again, make sure we're saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, because Jesus is the only one who can take care of this problem. No amount of preaching, no amount of trying to prove the other wrong is going to help. We have heard enough about this issue, and we just need to get our hearts right with the Lord and let it be. In fact, if a person has not been called by God to deal with this, with the sin of racism and prejudice, hatred in the church, as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was, and some other ministers, both black and white, had to deal with this issue and were called to do so and had the authority to do so, we need to get off of dealing with the issue of the color line. We need to unhitch ourselves from this racism thing altogether. And the sad vision of W.E.B. Du Bois, that basically projected a problem that will never end. For it is still with us today, believe it or not, in 2019. In 2019, we have presidential candidates. After a black president, we're still talking about race. We need to get off of dealing with the issue of the color line altogether and deal with the four-pronged mission of the church only. That's it, man. Now, I know some folks are not going to like this, but I like the vision of the new president, the young president of the Southern Baptist Convention. You can get one if you want one. Just get you one. Focus on one. Witness to one. Give one a gospel tract. Give one a gospel pamphlet. Give one a gospel CD. I'm not talking about singing. I'm talking about preaching. You can get... those are the words of Dr. Thomas Steele. You can get one if you want one. It's wonderful. It's so beautiful. It's a great feeling when a preacher like that young preacher, I forget his name, Dr. Greer, I believe his name is. It's spelled differently, though. Now, this may be important. Yes. Hating people is, dealing with hatred in the church is important. Dealing with social justice is important. Dealing with this issue and that issue. They're important issues that have to be dealt with. But the church as a whole, the main thing needs to remain the main thing. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. We need to keep the main thing, baby. The main thing. We need to focus on the mission of the church. And while we go, don't pass up anybody. Black folk ought to tell white folk how to be saved. White folk ought to tell black folk how to be saved. Witness to everybody. And then when you lead them to Jesus, I guarantee you, there'll be many black folk who will get saved if white churches would go out and knock on their doors with a genuine smile. Don't send no racists now. Don't send somebody driving up with a Confederate flag on their truck to witness to somebody in the hood, okay? They're gonna do you like this black couple did, and this other man, he was a contractor. And they called him to come do a job. They found out the couple was black, and he drove up with a truck with the Confederate flag flowing in the back. And so they uninvited him. You might not want to send a card-carrying KKK member down to do it, but send somebody in the church who loves all people. You know who it is, Aunt B and them. You know them, the old sisters. They love everybody. Because they're gonna be real about it. They're going to have a smile on their face. And it's not going to be fake. And they're not afraid of anybody. Black folk, white folk, brown folk, whatever. You know Aunt B and them now. They flat get it. They have a big old Bible on their arm. And they'll, I'm not white. White old white ladies, they'll witness. And they'll tell black folk how to be saved. Send them out. I guarantee you, you'll get some folks saved. And when you lead them to Jesus, you ought to invite them to your church. That's how you integrate the church. You don't integrate the church by having meetings and symposiums with a bunch of DDs, what Dr. Green used to call, Oliver B. Green used to call them a bunch of dumb dogs. Doctor of Divinities. Talking about something close to nothing. Sit down. And just, when was the last time you DDs went out and passed out some gospel tracts and confronted somebody with the gospel? Sat on the porch and drunk some lemonade and led somebody to Jesus. When was the last time you did that? You DDs. You THMs. You MDivs. You D-mens. You like to sit in your ivory tower and blog and talk about stuff that means nothing. And you got so much time on your hand, you create mess. Trying to become known and trying to become, you know, somebody. Yes, I tell you, that's a new thing. There's no new thing in the Bible, man. Go soul winning. Get with Brother Greer. I believe his name is Grar, or whatever his name is. Get with him and focus on one. How about it, Doctor of Divinity? How about it, D-Men, Doctor of Ministry? How about it, THM? How about it, MDiv? When was the last time you passed out a gospel tract? When was the last time you witnessed to somebody on the porch? You can get one, Dr. Thomas Steele said. You can get one if you want one. If you pray for one. If you witness to one. God will reward you. The church must keep the main thing. The main thing. And the main thing is not racism and prejudice. You can't change people's heart. Only God can. Only God changed my heart from wanting to be like Jesse Jackson and become a lawyer and fight for black power rights. I'm not interested in doing that anymore. Because God gave me a higher purpose. Share the gospel with the lost at any cost. And to share the gospel by any means necessary. So we need to deal with the four-pronged mission of the church. And I'm adding a little bit because they go together. We all know it. And that is to confess and repent of our sins. We need to get our hearts right with the Lord so that we can be fit for His use. And number two, love all people like we love ourselves. You want to be saved and go to heaven? Well, black folk want to be saved and go to heaven too, or need to be saved and go to heaven. So do white people, and brown people, and red people, and yellow people. Don't pass anybody by. See, the power is not in you, my beloved. The power is in the gospel message. It has no color. You say, preacher, why do you preach the way you do? Why do you preach so often? In the words of one of the Gospel Coalition brothers, so copiously, because I firmly believe. Because I got saved through the preaching of the gospel and the sharing of the gospel. I firmly believe that the power is in the gospel. As Billy Graham said, it's not in me. It's in the gospel. It is in the shared word or the preached word. It is an amazing situation. It is an amazing thing, the gospel. Not only that, I am very confident that if the word of God is preached, it will do something in a person's heart. Every Christian who's been saved for a while, who's been born again, they know this is true. You can be in a crowd of 2,000 people. The man will preach one sermon. If he's preaching the word of God, everybody will get a little cut. It's amazing how God would take one message and deal with everybody differently. No biblical sermon is wasted. It's amazing how God does that. I know of a preacher down in Atlanta, Georgia. He preaches very monotone. I mean, you know, he just basically reads the message. But people just come. They flock in every Sunday. There's no shouting, no entertainment, no running across the pulpit, no running down the aisle, none of that. But God be cutting up in there. God be dealing with folk. And you will get a message. So we need to confess and repent of our sins as Christians. We need to love all people, black and white, red and yellow. And then thirdly, we need to witness to all people. If we love people, we will witness to them. We will do something, in the words of the preacher out in San Diego. Do something, man. You can do something. Some people are gregarious and outgoing, and they love to mix it up with people, and they love talking. Hey, send that group out to do some witnessing for the church. Then you have introverted people who are more comfortable being behind the scenes and supporting. Let them do their thing. But everybody can do something. And then, of course, number four, we need to pray for all people. Pray for all people. For the problem of the 21st century is that we are still talking about the color line and not what Jesus Christ did on the cross in the fullness of time. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close this message. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, Lord, as you know, I have so much more to say on paper. But Lord, I thank you for leading me to say what has been said. And I pray that, Lord, the people under the sound of my voice, those who will be under the sound of my voice on demand, help us all individually and collectively to confess our sins and to repent, to turn from our wicked ways, to love all peoples, to witness to all people, and to pray. Help us to do what you have commanded us to do. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to obey your holy word. And Lord, help us to understand that we must live by biblical facts, not our feelings. And help us to keep the main thing, and not get caught up with stuff that we really don't have any power to change. For the sin of racism and prejudice and hatred, that's a hot thing. Only you can fix it. And so, Lord, help white folks and black folks and everybody else to confess it as sin in their closet, to repent of it, to lay it bare before you, to turn from it, and to become a true Christian who loves everybody. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, as you may know, my main calling is to be an evangelist. You may be seated. My main calling is as an evangelist. And so my main concern is that you get your soul saved from hell. Now, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin always, 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 in life and in death. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sins. Our bodies will be put in a grave one day, somehow, some way. Our soul will go to hell if we don't trust Jesus Christ as our Savior in this life. And Jesus Christ taught that there is a hell. He created hell for the devil and his angels, not for you and me. But if we act like the devil and his angels, and we don't trust Christ as Savior, we're going to hell with the devil and his angels. So Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody else in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. So third, accept that fact. The fact that you're on the road to hell without Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And hell is a very real place, dear friend. It is a place of darkness. It is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a place of torment. It is a place of an agonizing, tormenting memory. And the saddest aspect of hell to me is that once you go beyond the gates of hell, you can't come out. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There might be some among us here today. I'm sure that there are some among us here today who are not saved. Some of you, in the teeming hundreds listening all around the world, you might not be saved. You might be religious, but you're not saved. See, one of the signs of being saved and born again is that you're going to hate sin. You're not going to be perfect, but you're going to hate sin in your life, mostly. And see, hypocrites hate sin in the lives of others, but they don't hate their own sin. But if you're born again, you're going to hate your own sin. You're going to be convicted by your own sin, to use a word from my oldest son, Daniel White III, in one of his writings. You're going to have some compunction about your sin. It's Daniel White IV, rather, my oldest son. You're going to have some compunction about your sin, your evil. May God pity you if you don't. If sin bothers you, then you're probably born again. You're probably saved. If sin does not bother you and you can sin without any compunction, without any guilt, then there's something wrong. If you can continue in sin and it does not bother you, God does not chastise you eventually because you won't quit it, then you have probably not been born again. You're probably not saved. If you can continue in it for 30 years and it does not bother you, and you keep on doing it because you love doing it, there's something wrong somewhere. This is why we say in the church that you cannot be a member of the church and serve in the church if you are living in adultery or living in fornication, or you are known as an embezzler, a Judas in the church, or you are a homosexual living in homosexuality, having been an adulterer, having been an adulteress, having been a homosexual. That's one thing. You can confess it as sin and repent and join the church and serve. But if that does not bother you, there's something wrong somewhere. Sin ought to bother you. Right now, some of you you're under conviction right now about your soul. That's God speaking to your heart. So, dear friend, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and you want to trust him for your salvation today, please pray with me this simple prayer. Be willing to repent of your sins. You understand that when you trust Christ, that you will be repenting. God will help you to do that, of your sins, and turning from your old evil life, because Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. He does not want us to continue in sin. So when you trust Christ, you understand automatically that you're turning from your old sinful life. And we're going to pray and ask God to help you to do just that, and to repent. And we're going to ask him to change your life when we pray. So pray with me right now the sinner's prayer, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have taken your holy name in vain before. And many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, Please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you that will help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.